Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribe, and follow the podcast. Chris, your YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there after an Eagles victory. But it was a sweat yesterday. I mean, that was a sweat. 22-16 over the Carolina Panthers. Eagles moved to 11-2, nine straight victories. And they won yesterday in a game they probably shouldn't have won. I'm just going to put it that way. They were lucky to win that game yesterday. And I haven't felt this way in a long time. I mean, the last time I felt they were probably lucky to win a game or they weren't the most deserving team on the field in terms of who gets the win, who gets the loss, was probably the Saints game, although their defense played very well in that game. Jacksonville, they were much better. They just coughed it up with some mental mistakes and some weird plays. Yesterday, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday were outgained by the Carolina Panthers. They've been outgained in back-to-back games now. Their offense, back-to-back games, under 300 yards. And there's a clear issue that we need to discuss. It is the elephant in the room. It cannot be ignored anymore. It is the Eagles passing game, because the passing game I saw yesterday is not championship worthy. It's just not worthy of winning a championship. And until they fix that, it won't matter. And when I say that, you could tell me about all the talent they have and the players they have here are capable, and the players they have here from the quarterback to the two receivers have done it before. Sure. But this version, this year, this group right now, it's not good enough. I mean, yesterday the Eagles had 21 throws from Jalen Hurts. They had 83 net passing yards. 21 throws for 83 net passing yards. There's no other way to say it. It's not good enough. And I don't want to hear about the quarterback rating, the QBR. It does not take into account what was not done on the field yesterday. Sometimes statistics are a measure of what has happened, not what could have happened. And there were several plays out there yesterday where Jalen Hurts held the football too long, didn't see the field well enough, and is missing guys that are wide open. I mean, they are wide open down the field, and he's not pulling the trigger for whatever reason. And you can say, Joe, what are you talking about? How do you know that? Well, I listened to the people who do know, like the people calling the game yesterday, Mark Sanchez. And how about a guy yesterday that we all know sees it from a different perch and a different purview than we do, Mike Quick. First drive of the game, where Jalen holds the ball, and eventually throws the ball into the flat to Jahan Dotson. Mike Quick, as I'm driving home from the pregame show on the radio broadcast yesterday, said he had A.J. Brown on the flag route wide open. I watched the video this morning because I got home, like I always do. I start the game on DVR, and they didn't highlight that. It's a bad job by Fox not highlighting that Jalen missed someone wide open. So I was like, all right, I see the play now that Mike Quick's talking about, because I saw him hold the ball, and throw the ball to Jahan Dotson, but I didn't get to see the element of where's AJ on this play, because they didn't show it on TV. Well, this morning, Dan Orlovsky, all 22, showed it. I mean, it's there. I mean, it is there, and it wasn't the only one yesterday. And after the game, when A.J. Brown speaks about this, when Jalen Hurts speaks about it, when Nick Sirianni speaks about it, no one sugarcoating it. I mean, A.J. Brown said flat out what could be better, what needs to be better on the offense. He said passing. So we have an issue now the Eagles need to fix. And I think it's very easy to just overlook this stuff when you're winning games. But the bottom line is, as the season gets closer and closer to the end, the Eagles are running out of time to fix this before it really becomes an issue in January, and it will, because the passing game we saw yesterday is just not good enough. Again, raw numbers are fine. I mean, you know, you want to look at QBR and passer rating and make yourself feel better. They're fine, but they're not at the same time. I mean, that's the bottom line, is they're not. You know, passing yards per game in the NFL, I'm going to pull that up right now. It doesn't paint a pretty picture of where the Eagles are across the NFL. It doesn't paint it. Passing yards per game, NFL, and team passing rankings. You know, here's the company the Philadelphia Eagles keep right now. They are 31st in the NFL in passing yards per game this season. They are only ahead of the New England Patriots at 171.5 as the Patriots. Eagles are at 180.6. Chicago Bears, rookie quarterback, 182.7. They fired their head coach. The Tennessee Titans, 182.2, Will Levis. The New York Giants, with the combination of Tommy DeVito, Drew Lock, and Daniel Jones, who's now a backup on the Vikings, 185.5. The Carolina Panthers, and I thought yesterday the more impressive quarterback on the field was Bryce Young. Carolina, 186.6. Indianapolis, who has gone back and forth between a quarterback that completes about 50% of his passes in Anthony Richardson and a 38-year-old Joe Flacco, they're at 192.7. The Chargers, maybe the worst wide receiving core in the league, at 198.1. Jacksonville, who's had a dismal season and all sorts of injuries to Trevor Lawrence, who's now out. A lot of Mac Jones in there, 198.2. This is the company the Philadelphia Eagles keep right now. This is where they're at. And if you look around at the other potential contenders in the NFL, yes, good teams run the football. And Pittsburgh runs the ball. They're 23rd. But it also is hard to find a team we actually think is going to win the Super Bowl that is residing in this area. The Seattle Seahawks, who look like they're going to win the West, they're at 249 per game. The Detroit Lions, who I think are the best team in the NFC, are 243.8 passing yards per game. Baltimore, 243.2. Tampa Bay, who's likely to win the South, 241. San Francisco, who may catch Seattle and win the West, 239.6. Minnesota, who's cruising in the playoffs, 238.2. The Rams, 237.7. Green Bay, 231.2. Buffalo, with Josh Allen, the favorite for the MVP, 229.3. Kansas City, 227.6. I mean, I would think right now the teams that are going to play in the Super Bowl are all in the top half of the league in passing yards per game. And this isn't, it's not that you might say this is, well, they run the ball well. This is not solely an effect of running the football. This is also part of it. They're not good at throwing the football right now. And they've acknowledged it. And why, I don't know. But that's where the Eagles are at right now. This is not a good passing game. It should be, but it is not right now. Part of the issue is it does feel like Jalen Hurts is holding the football too long. I saw a stat yesterday that was remarkable, okay? So the Jalen Hurts yesterday, he was sacked 4 times on 9 pressures. 3.29 average time to pressure was the slowest in the league this week so far. That was, I believe, tweeted out by Fran Duffy during the 4 o'clock window. It was either during the 4 o'clock window or maybe after the 4 o'clock window before Sunday Night Football. But most of the games have been played. Let's just put it that way, right? The Thursday night game, all the 1 o'clock games, they had been played. So most of the league had kind of come in already with their statistics. And it was the slowest average time to pressure in the league so far. So it was a combination of there was some pressure, but that pressure was coming late. Jalen holding the football. Jalen Hurts had an average time to throw yesterday of 3.47, the worst this season for him. 5.1 yards per attempt, lowest of the season. 5.6 air yards per attempt, the lowest of the season. And this isn't going against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they will see next weekend. This was going against the Carolina Panthers, a pretty dismal defense. We had Mike Kay on from the Charlotte Observer on Countdown to Kickoff yesterday before the game, before the pregame show, and he told us any chance the Panthers had yesterday was because of their offense. Their defense had really not improved much. They didn't have Jadeveon Clowney, their veteran pass rusher. They released Charles Harris and let him come here, their other veteran pass rusher. I mean, it's a pretty bad defense led by one or two, you know, named players. A'shaun Robinson, the defensive line, Josie Jewell in the linebacking core, J.C. Horn, a corner. I mean, there's three players you kind of have heard of before on their entire defense. So this wasn't a Panthers defensive thing. This is an Eagles offensive thing. What is going on here? What's happening under the hood? I have no idea. I don't. You would think with DeVonta Smith back, there'd be opportunities in the passing game. Jalen Hurts feels to me very tentative right now. Doesn't want to throw an interception. Is almost taking the game manager thing to an nth degree. Is using his legs to escape. He did make one big run up the middle to end the third quarter yesterday. Getting away from a sack, it would have been in total 5 sacks if he took that one. But he made a huge run. I thought it was his best run of the year, all things considered, to set him up for a touchdown. So he's doing some good things. And obviously yesterday was efficient in the red zone with the touchdown pass to Devontae, touchdown pass to Calcaterra. But there's just meat on the bone that you could see here. It's just left over. I mean, that game could have been dead to rights yesterday if he just hit a few big passes that are obviously there. And I'm not sure what he's seeing. I'm not sure why he's not seeing it. But holding the football that long in the NFL is not going to work. I mean, yeah, once in a while, you're going to break a big run. like he did yesterday. But most of the time, these are incomplete passes or sacks or throwaways, which are obviously just incomplete passes. They're nothings. And that's what yesterday was. And I thought a microcosm of how little the Eagles trust their passing game and their quarterback right now was the end of the game. So they have a fourth and five from... I'm trying to remember the exact situation they had. But they had the ball on the 36-yard line. I want to make sure I get the exact numbers on it. It was a fourth and eight, I believe, on the 36-yard line with, you know, a couple minutes to go in the game. They're up six. Obviously, that's where the game ended. They have a chance to ice the game and finish the game. And I'm going to pull up my message actually here to Kyle Quinn because I was texting him about it yesterday after the game. And I'm like, you know what, this showed where they're at right now with their passing game. So the scenario that I wrote down in my notes was simply this. Fourth and eight from the 36, okay? They have three options there. They could try to kick a field goal to go up two scores, go up nine. But that would have been a field goal attempt over 50 yards. And we know Jake Elliott right now after the miss yesterday, he also missed an extra point that was negated by a penalty. Jake Elliott's in a bad way. The Eagles have a kicking issue right now. So, okay, when Sirianni explained it after the game, he didn't want to say they trust Elliott, but I totally understand not trusting Jake Elliott right now. Let's move off that as an option and just say, he's probably not going to make that kick. He's in a bad place. I don't want to set them up over the 40 and give them only a half a field to go. Let's eliminate that one. Okay, ball on the 36-yard line, fourth and eight. Two more options here. You could punt the ball and hope for the pin, which they did and they got. It worked out for Sirianni. But the other option, if you're eliminating the field goal and you're going with punt or go for it, is to go for it. I would argue the Buffalo Bills put the ball in Josh Allen's hand. I would argue the Kansas City Chiefs put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands. I would argue most big-time quarterbacks get the ball put in their hands, especially if they have two healthy receivers out there, which the Eagles do with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith that gets a bad defense. You could end the game on offense. Yesterday, up three late, the Los Angeles Rams had a fourth down. They could have easily tried for a field goal. They went for a pretty substantial fourth down to try to go for it, to keep the football, to try to get in the end zone, which they did. They wanted to go up 10. They wanted to go up two scores. They wanted to end the game basically on offense. And they did that even though the Bills did score one more time. But the Eagles could have chose to try to go for it there. And what I think we have to kind of net out here is the reward, the good versus the bad. Yes, the punt did pin them on the 2-yard line. It worked out. The Panthers had to go 98 yards and they couldn't do it. But there is a chance, and I would say a real chance there, that even a good punt is going to take a weird bounce and it's going to go into the end zone. So the Eagles were willing to give the ball back to the Panthers instead of trying for the first down, instead of giving the ball and putting the ball in the hands of their quarterback for what could have been only a 16-yard net gain. Right, the ball was on the 36, that they snapped it there, and Jalen has the ball in his hands. It's either, you know, there's all different outcomes the play could have had. But let's say it's an incomplete pass. All right, the ball's on the 36-yard line for the Panthers. If they punt it, which they did, and the ball takes a weird bounce, it goes into the end zone, and the Panthers get it on the 20 anyway. So 16 yards. Nick Sirianni was willing to accept that it could have only been a 16-yard gain. And he rather that than trust his quarterback to throw the ball to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. I thought it was the biggest glimpse into how little they trust the passing game right now that they wouldn't let him go back there and attempt that. And think about the other things that could have happened. One, you're going to waste a little bit of time. Two, you could have got a penalty, which happens all the time in the NFL in these kind of plays. Three, it could have been a complete pass for a first down and you keep the ball. Four, it could have been a complete pass for some yardage. I know it was a fourth and eight, and that's not an easy play to get. Sirianni kind of scoffed at it after the game. But let's say you get 7 of the yards or 6 of the yards. Well, now what's the net, right? It's only 8 yards different or 7 yards different or 9 yards different than the punt would have ultimately could have been anyway if it had bounced in the end zone. And you were giving yourself a chance to end the game. I thought it was, ultimately, I get why he got there. And I don't trust the kicker. I don't trust the quarterback right now. I don't trust the passing game. But it was an indictment on where they're at. It was not an indictment on Sirianni. I don't blame him for that decision. I think most coaches there probably end up doing the same thing when you present them all of the different options. But that's more of a commentary on Jalen Hurts. And it's a commentary on Jake Elliott than it is a commentary on Nick Sirianni. He kind of felt, I think, he had to do that in that scenario. It ended up working. If Leggett catches the touchdown, maybe we're having a different conversation today about this Philadelphia Eagles team. Look, they're 11-2. They've got a lot to look forward to. They're going to clinch this division in the coming weeks. And I don't think the sky is completely falling, but the way we felt about them over the last month, you got to feel differently today. Because that was a bad defense yesterday that came in here and very well could have beat them because this passing game is completely and totally stuck in mud. They don't seem to have the answers. They seem like they're getting further from where they want to be rather than trending toward where they want to be. And the time is running out. I mean, 5 weeks from now, we're reacting to a first-round playoff game, a win or a loss, but we're reacting to that. It's not like they have 3 months. It's not like they have 2 months. They have 4 games, and then they got to prepare for a playoff game, likely on Wild Card Weekend in Philadelphia. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. We'll talk to you all week right here on WIP Daily.